Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on jihad. An Abi Amr wa yuqalu Abu Hakim an Nu'man ibn Muqarrin qala shahidtu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha lam yuqatil min awwal an-nahar akhkhara al-qital hatta tazula ash-shams wa tahubbu ar-riyah wa yanzilu an-nasr. Rawahu Abu Dawud. Hazrat Nu'man ibn Muqarrin radiyallahu anhu, he says that I witnessed that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not commence the battle in the beginning of the day, he would delay it until after midday when the winds blew and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended. So this hadith teaches us that the two times which are most appropriate for battle itself, for the actual battle, for actual combat, the fighting itself, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would either start it in the early part of the morning. If he didn't start the battle, he didn't engage in the battle in the early part of the morning, he would delay it till the latter part. In other words, not the very hot period of the day, during the morning, midday, at that time he wouldn't. Latter part of the day when it's now cool, then at that time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would engage in battle. This also teaches us something, that the morning for a believer is always a very important time. For a believer, a mu'min, this morning is a very valuable time. And for the kuffar and the west, and others who don't have deen, then you'll find that this morning time is a time that is generally wasted. People sleep late at night, and in the morning they are sleeping. But for a Muslim, the morning is very valuable, it's very precious. That to such an extent that even in battle also, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will choose this morning. A person is more energetic, he's more fresh, his body is feeling better, his mind is feeling better, his spirits are better, everything is good in the morning. So therefore this morning culture, we should create it within our homes. We should encourage the children, we should encourage the family people, whoever we have some type of influence with, tell them to appreciate and value this morning. At least when a person reads the Fajr Salah, he wakes up, he reads the Fajr Salah, he should read a little bit of Quran. If he can't read too much of Quran, try and at least read Yasin Sharif and then go to sleep. But it should never be such that a person is just up for Fajr and immediately he's sleeping again. Or a person doesn't even wake up for the Fajr Salah. Person should value, and this house also, our home, should become alive at the time of Fajr. Therefore you find in some madrasas that every day they make it a point that after Fajr Salah, all the students must sit for a period of time and make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter they'll have some ta'lim. Thereafter they'll have breakfast. Then they would start the classes also. But they won't allow this morning time to get wasted. Like the universities, etc. They start later, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, sometimes 10 o'clock the classes are starting. But Islam, we start early in the morning. So one thing we learn from here is the help and the nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes at these times also. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tatamannu liqa al-adu, wasalu Allah al-afiyah, fa'idha laqitumuhum fasbiru, muttafaqun alayhi. This hadith, we did the explanation also before. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that don't have the desire to meet the enemy. Rather, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyat. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease, for well-being. But when you do meet the enemy at that time, then remain steadfast. What this hadith shows is that a person should never show bravery in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the time he should show humility. That he's humble, he's showing his incapacity, his incapability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this. When a person is humble, this is something that causes a person to get highness. Man tawadha'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. That person who humbles himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Pak will elevate him, Allah Pak will raise him, Allah Pak, he will give him honor. And that honor that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is real honor. So here a person is humbling himself, he's not showing that bravery, that I'm looking very desirous to meet the enemy. He's not showing that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather he's showing his weakness. But when the time does come, then at that time a person shows bravery, a person is firm, etc. So this tawazu is something that is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, under his chapter of tawadu, babu tawadu'i, he brought a hadith, man aada li waliyan faqad aadantuhu fil harb. That person that has any enmity for my wali, فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ فِي الْحَرْبِ, then I have declared war on that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that my wali, this is a pious person of my servant, pious servant of mine, but you have declared, or you have shown enmity and hatred to that person, so I am declaring war against you. Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned that on two occasions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that I am declaring war. One is فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. When a person is engaging in interest and he is engaging in interest transactions, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares war with that person, that you are engaging in such a serious sin, the sin of usury and interest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares war on that person. And this is on the second occasion, when a person, he has enmity and hatred for the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for a friend of Allah Pak, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares war on that person. So, ulama explain, what is the relationship between having enmity for a pious person and humility? So, Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria rahmatullahi explains very beautifully, that if a person is humble, if a person has the quality of humility in him, he'll never hate the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of his humility, he'll always love the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it shows that when a person has humility in his life, it helps him also to bring love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and love for those people that love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last hadith of this chapter, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه وعن جابر رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الحرب خدعة متفق عليه. حضرت أبو هريرة and حضرت جابر رضي الله عنهما they narrated رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that war is deception. War is deception. Here we find that in Islam, Islam advocates and Islam promotes, from the beginning we were mentioning, Islam promotes straightness, Islam promotes firmness, Islam promotes, doesn't promote any type of crooked speech, any type of speech that is deceiving. Islam always promotes honesty. There's one incident, so this hadith, what this hadith is telling us, but in a war situation, now when you're in war, at that time you're allowed to deceive, at that specific time now you're allowed to deceive and you're allowed to use methods that will get the enemy unawares. So on this occasion you are excused. But when it comes to being honest as far as your treaties are concerned, as far as the peace treaties that you have with non-Muslims also are concerned, obviously the peace treaties will be with the non-Muslims, but those treaties and agreements that you have, Islam advocates 100% fairness like no other religion advocates. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he had a agreement with the Romans. There was a treaty that he had done and a pact that was done, a peace treaty that was done with the Romans. And with every peace treaty you'll get a termination date, a date of expiry, that this treaty, this pact is agreed upon from this date till this date. So the expiry date was drawing very close. So what Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu had done was he was taking his troops and he was moving his troops to the border area. Like what you would normally do when you are going closer or getting closer to war, you take the troops and you move them to the border areas, to the areas that are closer now to the Romans. So as he was moving his troops within his own territory, he wasn't going directly against the pact that he had with the Romans. So he was moving his troops within his own area, within his own domain. And suddenly a Sahabi coming on horseback at a very fast gallop comes, screaming, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Wafa'un la ghadar. That this Sahabi screams, takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says that fulfill your treaty and do not deceive. So Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and the other people that were there in the army, they turned back and they seen that this was this Sahabi that was coming on his horseback and he was shouting out this. So Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu called for him. And then he explains, this Sahabi, Hazrat Amr ibn Amasa radiallahu anhu, he explains that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that when you have any agreement with any party, when you have an agreement with any person as far as a treaty is concerned, a pact is concerned, then do not add additional clauses. We have already agreed on these terms. These terms have been agreed upon. Now and after that, don't add additional clauses from your side. That's not the right thing to do. And at the same time, don't undo that pact that you've got. But however, when the termination date does come, first make it clear to the other side, to the other party, that we are returning to our original terms. We are returning to the conditions that we had before the treaty. Now once you have done this, you have fulfilled the duty as far as the pact and the treaty is concerned. Look how fair Islam is. So this Sahabi is warning them that you are, although moving your troops within your country, you are creating an impression as though you are going against the treaty, and this is not in the spirit of Islam. Islam doesn't even create that impression that we are breaking the treaty. The treaty hasn't yet expired and you're already moving the troops. This is creating an unfair advantage. This is not something that is encouraged by Islam. So this is what this great Sahabi, Hazrat Amr ibn Abasa radiallahu anhu, was telling Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't want us to do this, adding additional clauses, breaking it and opening it up, or changing anything right until the time it has expired. And when it was expired, then let it be known that we are moving back to the original terms. But don't even create an impression that we are going against the pact. This is the spirit of justice of Islam. This is the spirit of Islam, that 100% we create not only an impression, factually and in form, a person shows that honesty, that level of dedication. And this is what Islam has promoted, and this is what Islam promotes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us the tawfiq to bring that honesty in our lives, to bring that sincerity in our lives, to bring that genuineness and straightness in our life. If we can do it as far as our agreements are concerned with non-Muslims, how much more careful we have to be when we are dealing with Muslims, and how much more careful we have to be when we are dealing with our own family. So all these things we have to bear in mind. May Allah Pak give us tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.